But now I want to take a moment and introduce our guest speaker today. Reverend Champion is a minister, organizational development consultant, a leadership coach, working with national nonprofits and labor unions, committed to anti-racist strategies that lead to cultural and political change. Champion has worked for decades on the LGBTQIA issues, AIDS awareness, poverty, and racism. Reverend Champion, we were so fortunate, had served with CSL White Rock in many capacities, including helping us organizational development consultant, facilitating workshops, teaching classes, leading meditation, and participating as a Sunday speaker and presider. And Reverend Champion, though, always brings their humor, warmth, and loving kindness every place they are. So please welcome Reverend Champion Fleming. Oh, Champion, you have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. Yeah, my name is Champion Fleming, and I'm a minister in Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm currently in Sebastopol, California, in the United States, and it's beautiful to see you all again. I feel really grateful to be home with you. And as we begin today, I'm really building from last week where Reverend Tamara started talking about paradox and holding complexity as we encounter things that come up that are in contrast, that are true and may also seem to be opposite and impossible. And so today we're sitting in the paradox of the beauty and love of gathering for Thanksgiving, and also in the context and legacy of the yet unhealed brutality of genocide of Indigenous people. And as this is true in Canada, it may be even more true in the United States, that we gather to give thanks and we're still looking back for reconciliation and healing from our history. And so in Science of Mind, in our philosophy, we believe that paradoxical thinking is a natural part of our teaching. We believe in oneness, even while there's suffering and struggle in the world. We believe that the infinite and the finite are one and the same, and that our minds are individualized expressions of the one mind. And all of these beliefs require a paradoxical mindset, which is the ability to hold two contradictory ideas at the same time. And rather than, you know, erasing one or rejecting one of the ideas, we see how they blend together and become a third way, a way that we can find a solution into something else. In a lot of my work, I deal with open conflict, and that we arrive in that conflict together as a site of possibility. And it's such a natural outcome of my studies with Science of Mind to work with people so that we can open ourselves up to multiple possibilities and multiple ways of thinking. And when we arrive in this tension or this a space of change, I know, you know, in my younger years, Thanksgiving was just really about the pilgrims and the beauty of America and coming together, right? And now Thanksgiving has a much different texture and feel, and a necessary opening of our analysis of what the holiday really is celebrating, and how can we bring something new to it that doesn't reject our traditions and our family, but that holds all of it. And that brings us an opportunity to bring more new ideas, new perspectives, a new sense of possibility, and encountering it in ways we've never encountered it before. And in that encountering, because of who we are as practitioners of Science of Mind, we can ignite some kind of magic or miracle that in fact will be a site and place of healing in our bodies, in our families, in our communities, in our country. And so on this day, the day before the second Monday in October, the day before Thanksgiving, which I know many of you observe it today or throughout the weekend, but some of you will be celebrating tomorrow. Let's just take a moment here and pause and take a breath and feel into everything that we're grateful for. As you breathe in and sort of sit and pause for a moment, just feel into what are you grateful for? And in this kind of paradoxical approach to the complexities of life, we can hold gratitude and care for the healing and reconciliation of our communities. So for me, I just moved in June and I'm finally kind of getting acclimated and arriving in Sebastopol. And I am so grateful. I have land, I have space, I feel very peaceful here. And I'm sitting in the paradox that while legally I own my own home and the land on which I'm living, I know that this is stolen land. I know that because of the history of colonization and genocide in the United States, that I can't really own this land because it's stolen. And so I sit in that paradox of both things being true, and then how do I show up and respond in that? And how do I live in a way that suggests that I understand the complexity of the current state of being, right? The current, what's happening currently where I live, and also the context that I'm sitting in. And I can use this tension and these mutual truths to find a new way of showing up, of acknowledging the history of genocide, the ongoing cultural genocide of Indigenous folks, and then move into reconciliation with them. And I am engaged in ways in my community that support Indigenous culture, Indigenous people, and I am arriving at a way that I feel that I'm stewarding the land rather than owning the land. And there's a woman in Vancouver I've been in community with. Her name is Jennifer Lee Coble. She's Métis and Cree and mixed European descent. She has a private clinical social work practice exclusively supporting Indigenous community members and healing from the historic and ongoing impacts of colonization. And she's in a program that I've been in and has risen to be a leader of this program. And we're in a large community together. And at some point in this community, she came to us and said, "How do the people of the land where you live know that you know to do a land acknowledgement?" And so for me, I've been able to answer this question. And I just want to pose this to all of you. How do the people where you live know that you know to do a land acknowledgement? And by that, I mean the Indigenous folks, the First Nations people of your community. How do they know that you know to acknowledge them and to acknowledge the land? What is their felt experience and what is known in your knowing? And if you know me, you know I like to ask a lot of questions when I give talks. So that's the first question. And so for me, this is such an important, I mean, this is the biggest paradox in the work that I do, which is largely organizational change work, dealing with, I'm working with a very large organization that's made a commitment to be anti-racist. And so we sit in what it means to want to show up in our best possible way, that we have aspirational and dreaming up ways to be better people, to create a just society, one of economic, environmental, and racial justice. And then, but how do we actually show up on an interpersonal level? Or how are the systems that we're part of still enacting harm? And so I sit with people who are powerful people, who sit with senators and governors and even the president of the United States to inform policy. And in the early days of COVID, I was working with a person who yields a lot of power. And he sat with a governor of a large Midwestern state and got that governor to stop using the term China flu. This was early on in the COVID pandemic, and folks were referencing, you know, to place blame and judgment on a whole race of folks, that it wasn't really their fault that we were experiencing COVID, but it was a way to place blame and foment racism and hate. And anti-Asian hate was really on the rise. And so this leader I was working with somehow convinced the governor to stop using this language and to just say COVID-19 and to call it a pandemic. And this created a change statewide in the media. It created policy change in everything the state government was doing. And it created more safety and more space by this work that he was doing with this governor. Yet this same leader couldn't cultivate enough safety in his organization to hire and retain Black, Indigenous people of color on his staff. He was creating a lot of harm. It was a really toxic environment, and folks were leaving, and because they were encountering so much harm in their work life. And so at the same time, he was having this great impact statewide, but then on a more personal level inside with his staff, he was doing a lot of harm. And because of this work and because of our philosophy, I know that I'm one with this leader, that I don't push myself away from him and decide I show up better. I know that the way he is, I'm one with that. And how do I work with him in this oneness, that his paradox is my paradox? I know there are ways that I show up that are not supportive to the people that I'm around. And so how do I work with him in a way that helps me work with my own, with myself? And how do we stay in these uncomfortable things? Like, so far in a spiritual service, I'm bringing in challenging things that may feel uncomfortable that you may not want to have had to deal with this morning. But we've gotten here together. We've gotten here communally. And now I really feel it's time for us to heal with the same intense intention to heal communally. And so Brené Brown says, in these challenging moments of dissonance, of, you know, she's kind of saying the way we show up and the way we wish we were showing up, how do we stay curious and resist choosing comfort over courage? It is brave to invite new information to the table, to sit with it and hear it out. And so we as spiritual people and me as a spiritualist, we can create a balm and comfort inside the discomfort. We can be with the divine in these challenging, difficult topics and life experiences and find support and comfort and care and love, that we are all individualized expressions of the divine, and that divine presence is inside of us and it lives through us. in my work, I have an affirmation that, well, it helps me believe that I should even be in rooms with people that hold this much power, that have this much access. And it keeps me soft and willing when I need to change, when I come up against my shortcomings. I say, I'm enough because wholeness, love, power, wisdom, and joy live inside me. We are enough. This community of spiritual practitioners is enough because wholeness, love, power, wisdom, and joy live inside each one of us. And when we come together, that is amplified and magnified. We are enough because there's only one thing happening here, and that is the power of the divine living through us can heal and reconcile and change people's lived experiences. My mentor, Reverend Eloise Oliver, used to say, or rather she would shout, don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about God. And so what is your balm? What is your affirmation or mantra? What is your cultivating a softness and tenderness in you, a gentleness to show up when you're not showing up how you wish you were showing up or how you think you might be able to show up? And what do we do when the world is offering up such devastating challenges? I know most of you have seen the Palestinian and Israeli conflict, which has flared into a war. Israel is calling it a war. It's devastating. And what is ours to do in this space? That we're all the way over here on this side of the world. What impact might we have? What do we do when they start going after trans youth in Saskatchewan and Ontario? And we are called to remember that we are divine beings having a human experience. For me, this is another really big paradox, to sit with this idea. And this is such a statement that has had me confused in my life. You know, some people will say, I'm a human being having a divine experience, or am I a divine being having a human experience? And in this situation, I think we can be with both, with all of it. How do we weave together all that the divine is and allow it to express through our humanity into a world that works for everyone? How do we be present in the discomfort and challenge of what we're seeing these days? And hold the idea, the complexity, that social injustices can be eradicated. There's a story I once heard of a 5-year-old whose mother had just given birth to a new baby. And the 5-year-old child kept asking to spend some time alone with his new sibling. And his parents asked him why he wanted to be alone with the new baby. And the 5-year-old said that he needed to be alone with the new baby because he was starting to forget God. And this story makes me reflect that we seem to come into this world with an innate wisdom and a knowing of our infinite and spiritual nature. But through our conditioning And just as life unfolds, we forget how magnificent we really are. And another paradox of this is that ancient Vedic scripture tells us that we can expect to forget our divinity. And that you are not special in your forgetting. You are unique. You are a unique and brilliant individualized expression of the divine. We are each unique and brilliant individualized expressions of the divine, but we are not special when we forget our divinity. And the thing about this philosophy is it teaches us that that forgetting can be remembered in an instant. And what is it that brings you into remembering? Is it when you pause and breathe? For me, sometimes I just say, yes, yes, yes. And I remember. Another one of my teachers used to say, are you willing to be willing to be willing to remember? Are you willing to remember? Are you willing to be willing to remember? And I hope that answer is yes. Yes. So as you are encountering the paradoxes of your life, the paradoxes of the global world we're seeing, remember that we are enough because the wisdom, power, love, and joy of the divine is inside us. And it is not a step-by-step process to our divinity. Our divinity is instantaneous. It is with each breath. Ernest Holmes says, there is perfect coordination in every part of my being because the spirit of perfection is acting in and through me. And this is true of each one of us, that we can sustain the discomfort, sustain the tension of these paradoxical moments because we are divine. And that divinity can be lived through each of us. And so it is.